It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Florida's capital city. This is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
To Jeff Cameron Show. Good Monday, everybody. Thanks for being here. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. There's Director Matthew on Twitter. It's at Jay Cameron Show. And away we go with what was a busy, fun, productive weekend for Florida State. Really, man, this is just an awesome time of year with the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, the NFL draft. Florida State players being drafted one after the other. Reason to celebrate again. And we got into going into next season a little bit, talked a little bit about where we think that's going to be. You know, Tom, we've been requested, it's been asked of us here real soon. We'll have to do it maybe first week in May because it's coming up. We got to do a probable, I mean, not a probable, excuse me, a W's and L's.
Yeah, agreed. We have to come to an understanding of what the cutoff will be for the portal because this is a deadline tomorrow to enter your name. But then you could take obviously some time to make your decision about where you're going. So in theory, Florida State could not know what the totality of their additions are going to be for some time. So we've got to pick a day and just say, let's go ahead with it. And if there is a drastic change, a Keon Coleman type player at any position shows up, perhaps we can revisit the W's.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we should wait until we know for sure what the hell is what. I mean, it is a big deal. I mean, I don't want to give an empty gesture of a W's and L's, even though we're not necessarily held to those W's and L's, depending the time of year that we give them. We have always reserved the right to change our mind based on a loss, a depletion of players, an injury, or something like that, or the influx now in the modern era of transfers that help change a segment group or projections at a position. So, you know, it just, it's going to be tough. I mean, it was so weird celebrating each moment that a Florida State player's name was announced as having been selected in the NFL draft. I all at once would smile and say, awesome, it's about time, we're back, look at this. This is now a place where, I think Corey brought this point up in his piece and on warchant.com, and he's right. You know, it's further affirmation that things have gone the right way for Mike Norvell and this coaching staff. Obviously, the wins on the field are the first thing you're going to look at. But, you know, sitting across from a kid in high school now, you really can say, look, this is what we do. We win a whole lot of games, and we send you to the NFL. And I think it's important, if you have a lot of portal players and you're trying to see this crossover into success with the high school ranks, some of those portal players, excuse me, have got to publicly give credit to the development they received once they transferred to Florida State. And that's happened. Very few have been shy about that. Now, I'm not saying, look, Did Ron Dugans do anything for Keon Coleman in terms of him getting drafted in the second round? No, Keon was a ready-made product when he got here. Keon was already a stud in the Big Ten, and he did it at a far weaker offense. And he got here, and he was immediately successful, as you knew he would be. So I'm not trying to go out on a limb and say, well, you know, he got here, and Ron changed the way he did this and that. No, I'm not saying that. But there are guys that there's no question learned something about both technique and responsibility and all of these kinds of, you know, the key words we hear about great leadership and all that other stuff. Jermaine Johnson talked about that at length, and he was here 1 year. Jared Versus talked about that, how quickly he learned, first of all, how to be much more effective with his hands. That's a very specific thing. He learned about technique and talking with Papuchis right off the bat. He said it in my interview that the first week that he was here, he learned a ton. He wasn't trying to take shots at the folks at Albany, but he knew he had taken a huge step up, and then it certainly helped that he and Josh Storms really had a great relationship in the weight room. And you look at the way his body developed and how much stronger he got by the time he left here, how much weight he put on. That's all part of it. That's a program. That's a program developing a player who had a lot of talent, There's no getting around that. But you need those guys, especially the ones who came in here who have really accomplished not much of anything before they got here. I mean, look, Johnny Wilson didn't do a damn thing at Arizona State. 20-something yards, is that right? Like, he hadn't done anything. So I know he got drafted in the sixth round, and somebody might say, well, I mean, how great? Well, listen, that was a guy who wasn't being utilized in any way, shape, or form at his previous stop. Yeah, he had a problem with the drops, but he became a much better receiver in his time here and much more consistent, too. And to that end about the drops, he was better this past year. Now, he missed a couple of games due to injury, and he had the one nightmarish game, I think it was the Southern Miss game, where he dropped everything. But from that point forward in the year, Tom, when he played, he was reliable. He made most of the catches you were supposed to make by the end of last year.
Yeah, that's one of the frustrating things about his injury was there were more hands catches away from his body, going and plucking the ball out of the air. You saw like those little extra fundamentals that would show up on a third and gotta have it the previous season when he would make catches in big moments. The Florida game was a great example of Johnny's earlier, the early part of his career. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the Florida game at home where Jordan Travis puts the team on his back. But Johnny, a couple of big drops early, but then when you have to have a play along the left sideline, he goes and makes a ridiculously difficult catch. That's kind of who he was. Last year, I thought it was different. I did. Southern Miss was a rough night. Yeah, no doubt
night,
about
tough
it.
Tough night, yeah.
But from that point forward, before he got injured, I thought he was more aggressive through traffic. I thought he was more trusting of going away from his body and not trying to cradle the ball, but going and getting the ball and plucking it out of the air. It's just, this could be, I'm not saying that he would be the best player out of Florida State's draft class, 10 players drafted, but this could be the best value of anybody who was drafted this weekend amongst the Noles. Johnny Wilson, if it's that version of him that goes and plays for Philly, man, he's not commanding any double teams. They're too loaded at other positions. They're also very, very good at running back. That's their style, so there'll be play action situations. He'll be blocking for a diminutive receiver on the perimeter. That could really work out. If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm thrilled with where I got that dude, because if it doesn't work out, it's...
Yeah, no big deal. You pick a sixth-round pick, yeah. A lot of sixth-rounders don't make it. No big deal. We're certainly rooting for him. I think everybody else kind of went where we thought they'd go. There were some surprises to the good, very few surprises to the bad. You know, very few. I thought that was a tough one for Johnny. Kalen DeLoach, I thought, would have gotten drafted after the 40 time that he ran. The fact that that didn't happen was kind of surprising. But opportunity, as you said, down in Tampa to maybe make something happen, and I wish him well. Everybody else, that they kind of went about where we thought they would. Braden Fisk included, Keon Coleman included. We said late first, early second for Keon. He ended up being first off the board in the second round. Good for him. Good spot. Braden Fisk shortly thereafter. That worked out what? We said Jared Verse seemed like a top 20 pick. Turned out he was a top 20 pick. Went 19th. Went well. We were really, really impressed by everything that had happened in the postseason workouts for Jerrion Jones, who really ran an incredible time. He measured well. Everything about him, you thought, okay, he'll get drafted pretty high. He did. Renardo Green, as the season went on, we continued to talk about, man, he is wildly consistent, very physical, looks healthy. teams are going to be excited about him. They were. So really, this all kind of went according to plan. And now you go into next season and you realize that, man, that's a lot to replace, but you feel like you have a lot of guys that will. And I will say this, I agree with Ira on this. The depth of talent on this team means that you're likely looking at double-digit draft choices again next season. I think it stands to reason. I think there's a very good chance that that's true.
I agree. There is a really good chance that that happens. And also, I think their productivity will be higher, you know, in a lot of different positions this year. I'm not saying that they're going to put up Jared Verse numbers or Braden Fisk numbers. What I'm saying is per snap, per capita, if you will, the productivity on the defensive line should be pretty high at defensive end because of the rotation that you can employ. The drop-off between first team and second team, we've discussed this. It's no disrespect to the Gilbert Edmonds of the world, but I think your fourth defensive end situation at Florida State this year is far better. And so if you're going to go with a 50-30 distribution in an 80-snap count game, you feel a hell of a lot better about that now this year than last. I think you can extend that to the cornerback position this year for Florida State too. If Azariah needs a breather for a few plays, I think you feel okay about it. It's not that you want him to come off the field, but you've got other options. Ditto for slot corner. We're hopeful that there's an option at center field at safety for us in that particular position. But you've got quite a few positions like that this year. Running back is another great example of it, where you're going to get a lot of production because guys can go. It's almost like a bullpen arm in baseball. They can go max because you have the depth to fall back on. I don't need you to worry about pacing yourself for 20 touches if you're a running back here. Give me the best 8 to 12 you got, because we've got four other dudes that I very much like and I'm going to employ for different situations.
Yeah, and if you're somebody at home listening and saying, okay, who are you identifying as guys that have a chance to get drafted? And we're just talking about drafted anywhere in the draft. Well, I mean, goodness gracious, Darius Washington will get drafted at some point. Malik Benson will get drafted. DJ Uiagalelei will get drafted. DJ Lundy will probably get drafted. Will LaHaye will get drafted. Fintrell Cypress is going to get drafted. Azaria Thomas, aforementioned, that you just talked about, will get drafted. Patrick Payton will get drafted. Daryl Jackson will get drafted. Josh Farmer will get drafted. See where we're going here? I mean, on and on and on we go. And that's just like, okay, thinking back, like that guy will get drafted. He'll get drafted. That's a lot. That is a lot. Now, then it'll be interesting to see what we project the following season. If you have 20-plus players go to the league in 2 years, there may be a drop-off. There may be a slight drop-off.
Hey, guess what? We'll need the portal again, and we'll need it in a much more prolific way. But a lot of those guys you named are portal guys in the last year or two, and they're solutions that we really much, very much like. Secondary, I think you can absorb what you're going to lose. It doesn't mean that you're going to be better in 2025. It just, you can absorb it. You've got some options. Defensive line, they're going to have to dip quite heavily. Defensive end specifically, unless they can break the budget, so to speak, at the battle's end and retain somebody like a Marvin Jones Jr. Let's just say he has a great year. Well, he's got a decision to make at that point. So they're going to have a couple of key conversations as we get into that next year. But that defensive front could potentially produce 5 to 6 draft picks this upcoming year.
We're
figuring that they're going to bring somebody else in for defensive interior that's going to be a top three, top four rotational guy. Maybe it's a younger player, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's a player in his final go.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that. A couple Michigan State defensive linemen, Tom, that possibly will one of, if not both. Wouldn't that be cool? It's something to think about. I'm still leaning towards just one of. I'm not saying both. I saw the look. I know you're thinking that I'm leaving hints. I'm not giving breadcrumbs here. I'm just saying everybody knows we're going after that guy.
Look, people are right, including me, to say, hey, is he leaving breadcrumbs?
I have in the past, but today's not that day. I'm just saying, okay. We know we're after those two guys, and so just saying something to look at there. Tried and True Consulting is a payments and business solutions company owned by fellow Knowles. That's a good thing. As a Knowles business owner, they're committed to reducing costs and increasing your bottom line. By the way, Tried and True Consulting give back 10% of their net revenue to the Battle's End. Hit the trifecta today. Scan that QR code you see on your screen or call alumni's Don or Joe at 844-464-6653. That's 844-I'm-4-Noel. Go Tried and True today. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Jeff Cameron Show rolling on. Ira Shaffel will be set to join us in just a little bit. We'll bring him on and talk about his 3-2-1, talk about what Florida State just accomplished, and look ahead, too, as well. We do have Seminole headlines set for tomorrow. I look forward to it as well. Tom, did you have a good time in San Francisco, buddy? I know, given the circumstances, good time is probably not the right word, but away from the reason you were there, did you enjoy the ballpark?
I did, yeah. It was, some tough moments this weekend, but we did get a chance to catch two games. We actually snuck back out there yesterday.
Oh, you bastard. Okay, look at you. You got to go to two. Got to see my Pirates lose again.
Yeah, no, there was no fog, no marine layer. So we stayed with a local who lives in an apartment / condo literally next to Oracle Park. Their back deck looks at the left field scoreboard, and you hear them, you know, testing stuff and playing music beforehand in the morning. You hear the batting practice. You can hear the sounds of the bat hitting the ball. So you're right there. And the flight wasn't until 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern this morning. So it's a 1 o'clock start. Let's go. Let's go to the ballpark. And we sat in section 202, buddy, which is the club level all the way on the cove. So all you see is the beauty of the bay, NoCal, and you're watching Pirates baseball. I know that Jared Jones didn't pitch so hot yesterday, but I saw the two home runs right from my vantage point in extra innings on Saturday night. It was a really cool series to watch.
Yeah. We lost, 3-2 yesterday? Couldn't score any runs? That's
It was 3-2 or 4-3. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't score many runs these days. Out in Pittsburgh. So at least you got to see that ballpark and those uniforms.
And you're right. There was once a game where they make a defensive mistake of just preposterous college baseball level.
Cataclysmic silliness. Happens all the time. That's all right. We're only one game under 500. We'll see. It's a little frustrating. Between the injuries. The reason I asked you is on this show over the years, we care about baseball parks, and we've been to a million baseball parks between us, almost all of them. And, I've been to that park, and it's awesome. I got to tell you, I like PNC more. That's just me. But and that's not because I'm a Pirates fan, but I do love that park. It's probably my second favorite park.
It is everything that people say it is. And we had excellent seats, first row next to the Giants dugout on night one. My wife loves to – when she goes to a venue, specifically a baseball park, first time, she shells out. Like, that's usually me. I'm usually the splurger in the marriage. But we got first row. Third baseline, Matt Williams was standing right in front of us, the third base coach for the Giants. He does the thing that Meat and 11 used to do, where he puts both hands on his cheeks.
While he waits.
And then the second day, we decided to have the Bayview seats. We also got lucky, dude. I mean, it was 65, not terribly windy yesterday, which for San Francisco is really warm.
Usually cold.
got to see two very good uniforms and two hotly contested ball games. Love extra innings. Extra innings is always good. And both of those games, I think, totaled under 5 hours. Yeah,
oh,
under
combined?
5 hours combined.
Mm-hmm. That's a good time.
Unbelievable.
That's a good time. Well, they get him in now these days. You can, I mean, it's funny. Anybody you talk to who's a baseball fan or who had been one and then waned, kind of came back last year and they're still rolling this year. It's like that the pitch clock thing worked out for everybody. Let's go. Let's keep it moving here. And I do like the erroneous complaints that pitch clock is causing problems for pitchers when, in fact, again, we can find empirical data that says, there were more injuries before that. So I don't want to hear that nonsense. You guys fall back on that if you want, but it's been a good thing for the game. So I'm good. You like the park. That's good. Is you've never been to PNC, so you don't know. You've been, does this number one on your list now?
Probably so. You know, I hate to say it, Truist is an excellent ballpark, but it's a lot because of the pregame.
Yeah.
You know,
the battery's awesome. Yeah. The battery's awesome, but the park itself is just whatever.
It's intimate. I like that. And, you know, Oracle, I should say, kind of helped start that a little bit. You know, you're right on top of the action. It has to be, dude. I mean, like, they had a boat out in right field yesterday, deadheads rolling up, playing dead music, and they were getting after it pretty hard. And you could hear it in the ballpark loud and clear. San Francisco is a strange place, but I got to tell you, it wasn't as rampant with issues like I've heard. Now it looked like downtown Tampa. You did have some tough spots, but it wasn't terrible. It was a nice place.
Went by Hatters for you, buddy. There you go. I made it in and did the right thing. Ended up having the deliciousness that is their wings and all the vibes. And you know who was there? The whole Levitard crew was there hanging out, and we were all hanging out right in the seats next to each other.
Oh, really?
Not talking. Oh. I didn't care. I didn't say a word to them. But,
I'm glad they went home pissed off. Yeah, that first period was something to see. I wish we had a little bit more of that. But way to bring home a victory. Way to not get swept. Thank you very much. In this rivalry that's budding, it's not really one yet because they haven't beat us in the playoff series. They're about to, probably. But we swept them. They have never swept us.
I said that. You never put me down, Ray. You never put me down. That's what I said. I said it loud enough to make sure everybody heard it. I'm like, well, we know one team has swept the other before, and we know one that hasn't. So there you go. That's where we're at with this one. I thought I was going to go watch the very end of an era. Instead, I got to see it prolonged, which was really nice. And by the way, made a lot of money on the Stanley Cup playoffs so far in the wagering. This has been good. A lot of going through for everybody. I know people get – I don't want to get bogged down in gambling talk here before we bring Ira in. But I would say that I have been able to – correctly identify, because, like, for example, I had Stamkos over a goal and a half, or actually a point and a half. And so that was, you know, the guys we say about baseball players that over time, if you get enough literally at bats, you kind of play to your baseball card. That's who you are typically. If you get enough at bats, obviously, in small sample sizes, you can have players, legendary players, who come up weak. Who come up and go on an unfortunate 2-for-20 streak because you're facing a really good team if you're in the playoffs. Somebody who's probably got a great frontline pitcher. It's very easy to have a rough go. But if you stretch that out over a lot of innings and many at-bats, then, you know, you start playing to your back of your card, although there are exceptions. Obviously, we've seen that with Big Poppy and others where, for whatever reason, they hit like 600 in the postseason. But it's true now I'm noticing, especially as an avid sporting guy, you do the same thing with star hockey players who haven't fallen off a cliff like Ovechkin. Thanks for the 0 points in 4 games in that series. Yeah. From zero, not a point.
Yeah, so specialty plays are the plays in the playoffs right now because if you're trying to play like the Sharps do, you're taking a bit of a bath. You know, on my straight trends outside of goal totals, I've been pretty good with totals, but the first round, generally speaking, gives you 6 and 7 game series and upsets galore. It's been a lot of chalk. There isn't a 2-2 series in the first round of the NHL playoffs. There could be tonight because Dallas series is taking forever. I don't know why, but no other series of the 8 is in a 2-2 scenario. That is extremely rare.
We have a 4-0, a 3-1, another 3-1, another 3-1. Yeah, we've seen a lot of it.
It's a lot of chalk going on right now, which is much more NBA first round than Stanley Cup first round. But, hey, that's why an outlier is an outlier.
He's here. Let's bring him in, my man. Irashfel, warchant.com, joins us on the Jeff Cameron Show, as he's wont to do on Mondays. Hey, Ira, how are you, brother?
I'm great. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm well, man. Enjoyed the 3-2-1 as always. And I think for a lot of people, going back through and reliving this weekend and really Thursday through Sunday and looking at all the names and all the kids that are a part of this big turnaround for Florida State, well, that was joyous because just one player drafted a year ago. Now you see a bevy of Noles go. And as you pointed out at the end of 3-2-1, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, I referenced it earlier, Florida State probably has a ton more going next year, whether it's DJ, whether it's Benson, Ventrell Cypress, Azaria Thomas, Patrick Payton, Daryl Jackson, Josh Farmer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to be a back-to-back run here, which can only further bolster Florida State's reputation in the high school ranks, which is something they're trying to marry with their elite-level, obviously, recruiting of the portal.
Yeah, and I think you'll see some of those guys who are kind of homegrown that were in the program the whole time. Darius Washington and Azaria Thomas, as you said, maybe Shaheem Brown if he comes out next year, Josh Farmer. Those are guys that have been here their entire career. So, yeah, I think that'll be a positive. I think that was one thing. If you were looking to detract from Florida State or Mike Norvell, you could say, oh, well, 9 of those 10 guys that got drafted were transfers, and, you know, you might have a couple situations where guys really were just here for 1 year. Keon Coleman and Braden Fisk at the top of the list. But for the most part, even those guys who transferred and got drafted had been here for 3 or 4 years. I mean, so it's not like they were just one-year rentals. But I also thought one other cool thing about it, and I didn't touch about it in my column, but, you know, just, you know, thinking about it, I also thought it was good that the vast majority of them, I went to really good teams and good situations.
Good situations, yeah.
Yeah, there might be years in the past where guys would get, when the Browns were awful and they get drafted by the Browns and you knew they were due to just have a miserable time because they were good. But a lot of these guys were drafted to good situations and really good teams. And I think that's a sign of, good front offices that did good evaluations to pick these guys.
Yeah, man, and you really can't beat having, at least from a PR standpoint, I mean, you can't beat some of the, basically the footage that's been retweeted or posted on Instagram or on websites across America, the Braden Fisk situation with Jared Verse, and of course, Keon Coleman was funny in his press conference with Buffalo. And you go on through all this stuff, all the guys, every one of them, like, this is awesome for Florida State. Every one of these guys, and Jordan Travis getting choked up, it was cool.
Very, very likable. All those guys, very likable. And you can kind of get a feel, I think, for why that team was so likable, for Florida State fans anyway. And then the other part of it, you know, I think, you know, even a guy like, even some of the guys that went late, you know, or went later than they thought they were going to go. Prime example, you know, Tatum Bethune, I think, you know, I'm not sure if he knew he was going to get drafted, but usually guys aren't thrilled to be 7th round draft picks.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just to hear how much gratitude he had. And you know, and again, this is a guy that, you know, 3 years ago when he was at UCF and had 100 tackles, he might have thought, oh, I'm going to be in the NFL in a year or two. Well, that's not where things went. And you know, all those guys, I mean, really all of these stories are stories other than Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman's the only 3-and-out guy. But everybody else on that list are guys that were in college for 4, 5, 6 years. Nobody signs on signing day. They haven't for a long time and said, I'm going to spend my next 4 or 5 years at school. So I'm going to spend my next 3 years at this school. And so all these guys had to persevere, and I think it's just really cool to see that.
You did a good job of documenting that, but again, to refresh people's memories, I mean, Trey Benson came over after that horrible knee injury at Oregon, and you think about it, Mario Cristobal takes the job down in Miami and doesn't even really think about trying to bring Trey Benson down. Obviously, a lot of people steered clear of Trey Benson. He comes here. I remember, Ira, you and I saw him that first day he was out there. We were impressed with the physique, but the real question mark was going to be when they put the pads on, is he going to be able to take contact? He's a running back. Well, not only did he do that, as he built himself back up and began to trust it, we saw that world-class speed at that size, and then we really realized, oh, man, they've got a diamond in the rough here. And so that story is incredible. And then Jerrion Jones. I mean, Jerrion Jones was the subject of a lot of fan ire for some time when he was here, I got to admit. And nobody really thought, you know, that first year in while he was here that Jerrion Jones was going to amount to being a guy that then gets drafted as highly as he did. But what a great final season, and what a cool turn of events for him.
Dude, and there were times during these last few years, because we get to watch practice, there were times during these last few years where you wondered, okay, is it going to work out, you know, for a guy like that? Or Renardo Green is a guy,
yeah.
You know, I think there was real conversations inside the program about his future, just not that he was ever trouble or anything, but just they were having a hard time getting the most out of him and finding the right place for him. And it just wasn't, you know, a seamless transition for some of those guys. And then, you know, again, even like Fisk, and from the standpoint of, you know, this is a guy that redshirted at Western Michigan, first year at Western Michigan. He's been in college 6 years. So he had to make a decision a year ago. You know, Florida State kind of got lucky because he had that shoulder injury. So, you know, but, he decided he wanted to give one more year of college football. And it just, he bet on himself, and it turned out incredibly well. And you just feel so good for all those guys. I mean, there's a couple other guys. Kalen DeLoach, it would have been nice to see get drafted. I think a lot of people are surprised Fabian Lovett didn't get drafted. But overall, I don't think you could have scripted a better day for Florida State.
Yeah, and everybody is, as you said, for the most part, pretty eminently likable, and people that Florida State fans will associate with this massive turnaround. It's funny because when I was saying this in the first hour, Ira, when the draft is concluded, it's like we put a ribbon on the previous season officially. Like college football, that college football campaign is done. And I think the reason for that is because we know the great players at Michigan. We know the great players at Alabama. We know the great players at Georgia. Obviously, we cover Florida State, follow Florida State, root for Florida State. We cover the great players that were there. And so what ends up happening is the next question, it's really the precursor to the next year, is, well, of all the teams that just had a slew of players get drafted, and finally Florida State's in that conversation. Now Florida State's alongside the best of the best in college football in producing talent. And we think they'll be there again next year. But always what comes with that is how well are you able to replenish the roster and sustain excellence? Because that's the other part about being great, is that those expectations are there year over year over year. So it's kind of interesting because I took a step back, and while I celebrated those names and we celebrated the and what they represented and we were happy for them individually, you do when you say their names out loud. And when I was reading your column on warchant.com, I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, if we just go through the list as he did it and include Keon Coleman in there, and again, for everybody, I'll do it right now. Keon Coleman, Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Renardo Green, Trey Benson, Jerrion Jones, Jordan Travis, Johnny Wilson, Tatum Bethune. Like, when you start to do that, you go, whoo, that's a lot to replenish.
Well, and I think, you know, there's two things there. You know, I was listening to a podcast, a national college football podcast. And they were talking about basically, you know, saying that they thought Florida State was probably going to take a step back just because they lost so much talent. And that's fair for people to think that. It's just funny that, you know, Florida State was in this weird position where people didn't probably appreciate how talented this team was, you know, when they got snubbed from the playoff because Jordan Travis was hurt. And then we fast forwarded straight from, we don't know how talented this team is, to now, how are they going to replace all those talented guys that just
draft?
Yeah. So it's like you got worst of both worlds. But what I've told people, and I'm, you know, you're telling people, and you know, anybody that's watching the program closely would say the same thing, is it's going to be different, but it's still super talented. And the one I'm more concerned about, honestly, is I looked at that draft. The takeaway I had was, I'm not worried about the talent. I think they've done a great job of replacing talent. I think it's going to be there. I think, you know, the overall the culture is in place and all of that. What we don't know is just the relationship side, if it will come together to the same degree. It'll be fine. I don't have any doubt that it's going to be fine. Like Mike Norvell and his staff and the players are going to make sure it's things are in good place. It's not going to be a cancerous locker room. You're not going to have problems that you might have had 5 years ago or 15 years ago. But when you look at that team and just the way Braden Fisk and Jared Verse, their conversation on the phone, and the way Tatum, and there was so much heart. Like, there was so much heart in those guys that we still have to see. You know, like, I can tell you that these guys on this team from watching the spring are very talented. They brought in a lot of really good football players. You can't measure heart, and I know that's a weird thing to talk about because you can't measure it, But that team was all heart, and we have to see if this team is like that in 2024.
Well, and the other part of it is obviously each season is unto itself, right? It's a single year, and there are a way that personalities mesh. And the way that guys, yeah, work and sacrifice alongside one another and how hard they'll fight for one another. And even though, like you're pointing to, that they have a lot of guys who are very talented, guys that are also going to get drafted in the NFL, you don't know it will mesh exactly the same way with those personalities coming together to form a stronger group, right? And so you wonder if they're greater than the some of their parts. And I think this team was, even though they were really talented. So you have to be careful. You have to say, well, I don't want people to get the impression that we don't think they had a lot of talent. They did. The NFL just proved it. But they also had the marriage of that talent and the personalities coming together perfectly.
Right, and this team may have it. And given your choice, you'd much rather start with a really talented team
and
figure it out.
Yeah.
And Florida State's doing that. And there were years in the past where, man, it wouldn't have mattered how much they liked each other. They just didn't have the talent. Well, yeah. The team does. They have the talent. That's the hard part. Now it's up to them to really come together and achieve at the level that team did, because I think you can make a case that team did greater than some of the parts.
Yeah, absolutely. And, oh, by the way, yeah, it was never any fun to have to come on the air and be like, I'll tell you something about these sorry 5-7 bitches. They love each other. They sure do love one.
Can't blame it on that. They just can't run fast.
They love each other, and they're slow as dirt. It's unbelievable. I'll talk to you later, brother.
Thanks,
Jeff. Yeah, that's Ira Shaffel. WarChant.com. He's the man, and we're running late for break. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, WarChant TV.
Hey, guys, I talked to you last month about my experience fitting with PXG, specifically the Black Ops driver and the fitting I had up here in Westchester, New York. I'm back to tell you, I now have it in my possession. It was mailed to me, specified exactly as I needed it with my club fitting. I am super excited to see how this driver performs for me. For a random Joe off the street, I'm a guy who can hit the ball pretty far. My carry numbers are somewhere between 240 and 260, depending upon how often I'm playing the game, but I hit it low, and I drive that ball. I've had a Titleist TS3 driver for years, 8.5 degree. Sometimes it's up to 300, 305 if the conditions are right, but I live in that range of about 270 to 290, and I knew that when I went into their facility for a private fitting, which this was a VIP fitting, everybody. It's by yourself. You don't have people hovering over you, waiting to take over the bay. You've got a private appointment with a club fitter. Sometimes a secondary club fitter comes in. You see your numbers go up. I figured on this day that when I went in, my carry distance was going to be between 238 and 245 just because I'm in the cold. I haven't been playing through football season. I'm rusty. But within 25 minutes, my carry distance went up 251, 255, 258. It was really impressive to see. And now that I have the Black Ops driver in my possession, I can't wait to see what it does for me as the weather's warming up and I get to play a little bit more golf. So for you, you got to check out the PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron and use code Cameron at checkout. That's pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Cameron, code Cameron.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
No need to dread Mondays around Social Kitchen. That's right. It's just another exciting week of discounts for you. Every week, Social Kitchen offers a diverse range of discounts and promotions for all their valued customers to indulge in. I'm one of them. Alongside the delicious prepared meals that you can get for the week, you can treat yourself to discounted wines, steaks. I could just stop right there. Wines and steaks. Forget about it. $5 off per pound any steak on Mondays. That's today. It's right off of Cary Forest. Go take a look at those babies. They're beautiful. And in addition, you get the discount per pound. You also get these hand-cut steaks, and then you get a selection of certified Angus and or premium American Wagyu. That's what you do right there. Tote Bag Tuesdays, Wine Wednesdays, celebrate it all at Social Kitchen. Go by Social Kitchen on Cary Forest Parkway or check it out, socialkitchentlh.com. fun conversation Ira Shafell and myself just had. I enjoyed it thoroughly, given the fact that they have another group of 10 to 12 guys we think will get drafted, and we do wonder just how well it'll all mesh, Tom. I do think that there are questions to be answered. The spring can't answer all of those. We walk away from spring with some questions that can't be answered until we find out which names are saying yes that we're interested in the portal in terms of depth concerns and overall rotations that we think, or at least we think that, you know, we can comprise based on what we know they're going after. At some point we'll know, and we'll have to know pretty damn soon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Last year we looked at who is Florida State's top retention candidate about this time. It was after spring, and we were forecasting the work the Battle's End was going to have to do, and we came on, you know, to two names. We decided on Patrick Payton and Josh Farmer.
Yeah, those are good names to
going to be. Yeah. These are the names that they're going to have to retain, and they did. I think for next year, it's probably Marvin Jones Jr. at this point. You know, we don't know what kind of production he's going to put up this season. It might be too large to.
Yeah, that if he goes nuts with that body and that name, he's gone.
Correct. However, he does have eligibility, which we love it. Mm. And maybe you put more eggs in that basket to try and retain him. But there's a lot of work to do. It's good and bad conversation. That defensive line is going to produce a handful, maybe more, players to the NFL draft next year. You have some solutions, but you don't have a ton of them on the defensive line. We'll see perhaps if there's development that occurs during the fall, maybe a couple of blowouts to see what Florida State has in that next wave. But there's a lot of work to be done on the portal, as Florida State's going to be sending a dozen or thereabout players to the draft next year. Well, hopefully a few of them can climb up into the first round, because right now, I know you do it, if you look at those way too early 2025 yeah. mocks, you know, Patrick Payton's name doesn't appear in a whole lot of them. I think that's going to change. But how many other Florida State Seminoles are going to creep up into that top 30, top 50 conversation? And if the answer is three or four, then we are going to the playoff as the ACC champions. It's a question of who are those players going to be? Can Malik Benson take that step? Marvin Jones? Or does Daryl Jackson finally make good on all that potential, and he's a consensus top 20 pick? That is what remains to be seen. You knew what you were going to get last year in terms of star power and potential. They got hurt, but you knew what their yeah. ceiling was. You just don't this year. There's a mystery to it, even though you feel good about the talent that they have.
Yeah, and if Daryl Jackson plays to his ability, to his body type, to his freakish athleticism and size, he'll be a first-round pick for sure. Very few people look like that, but Daryl Jackson's never done it. He's never done it, and not at any stop, Maryland, Miami, or here. We've yet to see it, so this is it. This is a show-improve year for Daryl Jackson, but I do suspect that if it's something he wants and he's about to go get it, he will play his way into the first round of the NFL draft because of what he possesses that so few do. We got to do probables here in a minute, and we'll have to shoo everybody out of here that's in the chat. You get the hell up out of here is what you'll do for the day. Or jump on over to 93.3, watch, listen, celebrate the probables together. We can do that, and that way you'll get to hear, at least for now. When do we make the shift from Ambrosia?
Usually we welcome in Frank
in the summer, in the official May. Summer. Oh, we wait. Yeah, it's in May, right?
And then we rotate. And so Ambrosia's still there. And we've also got Summer Breeze, which we haven't broken out this year yet.
Makes me feel fun. By the way, so a quick question. We've had this a lot in the chat before we send everybody off. I don't know the answer. And I don't know if you know the answer, and I haven't heard it yet. But yes, you have to declare that you're in the portal by the 30th, or that you want to leave by the 30th. But how long can that play out before somebody has to give a damn answer?
I don't think there's any.
It's interminable.
It's based upon their talent. I think the more talented you are, the more time you can take to make that decision. Yeah, I mean,
that's weird.
Now, coaches will want the players to be enrolled by the summer so they can go through strength and conditioning voluntary workouts, completely voluntary workouts. So whatever that semester is. Now, they're taking exams, I would imagine, this week at Florida State. Usually when there's no midweek baseball game, that is the indicator that it's exam week.
campus. It's exam week this week. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. All right. I'm just kind of curious about it. I didn't know if there was a cutoff for that. Now we get you guys up out of here, out of this. Let's do these probables. Make sure you're ready. Let's do it up. Cue it up, good sir.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
Yankees, Orioles, Clark Schmidt, Grayson Rodriguez. Cardinals, Tigers, Steven Matz, Kenta Maeda. Nats, Marlins, Jake Irvin, Trevor Rogers. By the way, Marlins fans, sending out a hug to you. That's a toughie at 6-23.
I believe they have 2 wins at home.
6-23 on the year. White Sox swept the Rays over the weekend and moved past the Marlins for no longer being the worst record in baseball. Royals, Blue Jays, Jonathan Bolin, Yariel Rodriguez. We got Cubs, Mets. Jameson Taillon, off to a good start for the Cubs this year. Luis Severino, what a matchup we got here tonight in New York at Citi Field. Jameson Taillon is 2-0 with a 1.69. Luis Severino, 2-2 with a 2.67. Okay. Twins, White Sox, Joe Ryan, Garrett Crochet. Tom will be asleep by the time they throw that first pitch in the Cubs-Mets game. Rays, Brewers, Ryan Peapot. Bryce Wilson goes for the Brewers. Phillies, Angels, Christopher Sanchez, Griffin Canning. He's a cheater on the golf course. Dodgers, D-backs, James Paxton, Tommy Henry. My Buccos travel out to Oakland. Well, they just go from San Francisco over to Oakland. Bailey Falter, who's been shockingly good for us so far this year, goes against Joe Boyle. Joe Boyle represented the union and the dock workers for years. Reds, Padres, Nick Lodolo, Matt Waldron. Braves, Mariners, late night, Max Fried, who's been really good lately. Bryce Miller goes for the Mariners, and that is a look at those that shall reside on the bump. I feel like somewhere along the way, somebody was like, you got to go ask Boyle. I don't know.
That might have been in Rockaway, New York, so I can tell you up here that that is very real, that union leaders and Irish County Society people who are head, this is a real deal. You run into some important people and you realize that maybe some of the things like Frank Sullivan or Franco, whatever his name is, Costello in The Departed, it's not quite Southie Boston here, but there are people who are important in this region of New York, and that's a real thing.
My favorite part is I'm not saying he's a person you can't hit.
So
I'm just saying.
He's almost a guy you
can't
hit.
He's almost a guy you can't hit.
So there was this guy that rolled into the Irish pub one night, and he's espousing all these great things he's done. He's had quite a few.
Yeah.
And I asked the bartender who's been pouring drinks here for 40 years. I said, is this guy full of – and he shakes his head like, no. That guy's for real. Yeah. So
leave him be.
So be nice to him. I was like,
yep.
Okay.
Understood. Remember when you and I walked into that dingy, very – on point, stereotypical Boston bar, and we were like, "Oh, okay, okay,
yeah. You guys haven't won,
yeah. Yes,
good.
That's my favorite ever. You haven't won, okay. Message received, and that back door being opened was so creepy. I'm like, oh, I don't like to know what's going on back there. That's."
So if you find that place, and we could put it out one day, maybe on a bellying up the name of the bar. Maybe after, I'm not going to Boston. If I'm not going to Boston for a period of time, I'll release that. But the reviews are very interesting. The Google reviews. Place. There's some stories that I 100% believe happened.
You almost picture Henry going, no, down a little further. Just down a little.
That's exactly what that bar looked like.
Around the corner. Here, where? Right. No, keep going. You're like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I got to go. That's Jimmy. Yeah. No, thanks, Jimmy. I got to go.
It's right there. Go on. Go ahead.
Go on there. Got you some coats.
Yeah, that's the danger. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That scene made me uneasy in the theaters when I saw it in the theaters. Like, damn it, man. I'm getting a little uneasy. I don't like this.
Different organized crime entirely, but you know what I saw for the first time on the flight out was Sicario.
Oh, it's awesome. Incredible. Whoa. I love that movie. How have you never seen Sicario?
It has been one that has bothered me that I have not seen. I know how great it is. I know Benicio is awesome. I get it.
The family dinner, when he walks in on them. Oh, it's the greatest with those kids. And that dad knows what's coming.
And the torture scene.
Oh, that's a great movie. Good work out of you, Tom. Good work out of you as always, director. Be well, everybody. Hey, the Sunday Smash tonight. Don't forget, stop by Zaxby's, one of the 56 here in town, and get you those beautiful brown nuggets and say to yourself, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Danny. Thanks, Zaxby's. Peace.